I always want to point out it's a privilege and it is an honor to stand here. And it's not something that should be taken lightly. And so thank you for the opportunity to speak. This is exactly what I want to do when I retire and even before, to fill in for pastors for whatever reason, that they're away on vacation, they're sick, whatever. I just want to be available to that body to go and speak. So I'm thankful to be here this morning. I wish Ray were on vacation instead of being in the hospital, but that is one reason why others will fill in as well, and that's what we need to do, be available for that. So, and it shows how fragile life is. Our church is, I use the term, been getting beat up a little lately. Anita is suffering with her foot and her walking. That has been extremely painful. I've had that before. Mike had a car accident. Fortunately, the passengers weren't hurt. His car was totaled. Jim Hicks, went home yesterday. Bev has passed. So, he's walking into a empty home, for the first time in a long time. And then we have Ray, who's in the hospital right now with what he has going on. So there's just a lot going on. If I've missed anybody, I apologize. We all have things going on, and life can change in a hurry, as we see. So we need to keep all these in prayer and pray for each other. One thing about this church, it does have a great prayer chain. We were talking earlier that you used to have to get on the telephone and, this person would be in charge of calling these five, this person would be in charge of calling these five, and it worked, but now you get on your phone, you do a little thing and hit send, and it just shoots out there. And that's a neat thing, technology. So it gets the word out quick. And when we get those, like Mike has said, what he likes to do and it is just to pray right then. I know it just depends where you are and what's going on, but after you get that text, you don't want to, like, oh yeah, okay. If you can stop and pray right then, that is always the best thing. But it's just great having that on your phone to remind you so that we can pray for the items that come up. We put out mine and Pam's niece, back in Missouri. Appendicitis burst. Very sick. Very sick young lady. And she got to go home. So, because, we put her on the prayer chain. You all prayed for her. Never met her. Never met her in your life. But we still prayed for her, and she went. She was able to go home. That was very touch and go for a bit. That is not a good thing. So it does work. So this morning's sermon, I'd like to start off with some, and I had to ask my daughter what they were. I think they're algorithms, I think is what they are, like LOL, right? Laugh out loud. ROFL, roll on the floor laughing. These are things people shoot on their phone so they don't have to type everything out. PTL, praise the Lord. Right, know that one. Now, I don't know if you saw me make a note in class this morning, Anita, but when I reached over and I grabbed my things, WWJD. That one came up this morning. We weren't even, wasn't in my plan. I didn't have that one written down, and we talked about it in Bible study this morning. OMW, on my way. BRB, I'll be right back. BTW, by the way. It's like, OMG, where is he going with this? Right? Oh my gosh, where is he going with this? This is where I'm going with it. PFOP. I don't know if you've heard of that one or not. You can either use it PFOP, or you can remember by PFOP. Pray for our pastor. That's what we need to do. There's a pastor in Dayton. I heard this message, and he was filling in for the pastor. He was a previous pastor, and he was filling in, and he brought a message on PFOP. Now, I'm not stealing his message, but I am taking the idea because it's what we need to do right now. It is very time accurate. And so PFOP, that's one we need to put down. So if you receive a text and somebody says PFOP, pray for our pastor. That's what it is. It worked. It did stick with me. Sounds kind of funny, but he would call it PFOP. And that's what I actually go with, PFOP. And now more than ever, we need to PFOP. Anita, Mike, and Jim, these things that we're all praying for are important as well. But this morning, I would like to concentrate on PFOP, if we could. I feel called to preach part-time on a fill-in basis. Ray's called to be a pastor. Huge difference. Big difference. I'm here from 11 to 11:30. So I'm a preacher. Ray is, without exaggeration, 24/7, 365 days. That's a pastor. There's so much to being a pastor, and that's why we need to be praying for our pastor. Jerry sent me a text. I was talking to the former pastor of Dayton. We've kind of built a relationship, and we were talking. He sent me a text, and I said, I'm speaking October 22nd. Will you be there? And he goes, no, I'll be in Bridgeport. And I said, wow, you're still busy, huh? And he goes, sometimes I preach a couple times a month. He goes, but that's really all I want to do because I don't want to slip back into pastor mode. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's a retired pastor. He had his calling, but he's still being used of God, and he's preaching. But he does not want to pastor. Two different things, totally different things. My father was a pastor. And see, the neat thing about this church is I can go back in my memory and dates and things, and it was like 1969. And the neat thing about this church is you can all go back there with me. We all remember 1969 for whatever. We lived in Mill Valley, and my father was going to school there, and he pastored a church in Belmont, about 40 minutes away. And it was Christmas Eve, and we were opening presents. Our family, my dad, my mom, and my two brothers. We had a little apartment on the seminary, and our tradition was Christmas Eve, open presents. So we were doing that, and the phone rang. So my father got it, and he was talking to this person, and he hangs up the phone, and he tells my mom, I have to go. One of the church members and their family needs to talk to me. That's what pastors do. I remember my father walking out and leaving while we were opening presents so he could go pastor a family who needed help. That's what pastors do. So what is the pastor? It's a person who has one clear and honest motive to bring others to Christ. Sounds like Ray. Person usually has a degree in theology, Christian studies, or divinity. Ray has a PhD in philosophy of religion, and he has an EDD in the doctorate of education, which I have no idea what that is. Our pastor has two doctrines. My father went to CBC, and he went to Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary for 8 years, the total of his schooling. Pastors are educated. They need to be educated. They need to be able to speak intelligently about the Bible, about God. We're going through a time in our church in Belmont where some people there were two sides. You've all seen it. Some liked the pastor, some didn't. And I was on the side where I liked the pastor. And I was talking to one of the other members who didn't like the pastor. And he was saying, I think we should have so-and-so become our pastor. He was one of the members of the church. And I said, you know, I don't agree. He's not educated. He doesn't have a degree, for starters. And he goes, that's just a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper. So when Ray had his surgery, did his doctor have a degree? Did his doctor go to school and learn how to become a surgeon? Or was it just somebody that they picked and said, let's let him do it? The doctor was educated, knew exactly what he was doing. Ray's educated and knows what he's doing. He doesn't know it all. If he did, he could explain revelations to us. But he has an excellent knowledge of God's word. So pastors need to be educated. By the way, CBU is still going strong. My father went there in the 60s. My daughter went there, and now Jake is going there. This is a fine Christian campus that is graduating fine youth, fine young men and women like Jake. It is still doing a great job. So what does the Bible say about a pastor? Remember, usually when I preach, I'll get up here and I'll kind of talk and give you my thoughts and those type of things. But then you have to turn to God's word. You do have to open the Bible and you do have to look in there. And this is where this becomes God's message. So in 1 Peter 5, 1-4, it says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as an overseer, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So there it is. Be shepherds of God's flock. That's what Ray is. Because we're under his care. Not because he must. It says here, right here, but because you are willing. Pastors have to be willing to serve. Don't be greedy for money. I don't think that's Ray's issue here at this church. So I remember my dad counseled a young pastor one time, came over to the house and they were talking, and this young man wanted to be a pastor, but he wanted to be a pastor of a big church because he was going to make more money. That pretty much ended the conversation between him and my father. Because from then on, it was kind of a different conversation. Not for the money, but eager to serve, and don't lord it over those who are entrusted to you. Be an example. Raise a great example. In 1 Titus chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Sounds like Ray. Sounds like Ray. He's not overbearing. He's not quick-tempered. Never seen him drunk. He's not violent. I remember we went to a car show one time. It's always got to be a car show story. We went to a car show in Niles, and we set our chairs up and stuff, and they were kind of sitting out, and there were a couple cars going down the street, and the traffic was slow, and there's this one impatient person. I know it's hard to believe. And he had a four-wheel drive, so it could hop curbs and stuff. And this guy, boom, hopped up on the curb because he was frustrated, and he shot across, and he ran over a race chair. Just went over it. And the chair was actually, surprisingly, it was okay. No big deal. So we all sat there, and we were watching, enjoying the show. And about an hour later, the guy comes down. He goes, I hear I owe somebody an apology and a chair. Ray goes, that's all right. It's fine. Don't worry about it. That's Ray. A lot of people would have, maybe had a few choice words for him, or maybe wanted a new chair. Didn't bother Ray in the least. So what makes a good pastor? A deep love and burden for people's souls. A clear personal love of Jesus. These are all Ray. A warm personality people respond to. Ray is fun. It's been a blessing and privilege getting to know him and getting to know him more and kind of hanging out with him more. He's a funny man. Great sense of humor. And he does have that personality that people respond to. A unique ability to understand God's word. He has two doctrines. He has the ability to understand God's word. He knows it. A clear communicator. If after talking to Ray on something, you're still confused, you weren't listening. He is a great communicator. He keeps it simple, he keeps it plain and exact. There's usually no guesswork when he's done talking to you or talking about something. When he leads a business meeting, it is very clear, it is very informative. He does a great job. An honest awareness of his heart and his personal brokenness. He might be feeling a little bit of that right now. I think he may feel a little broken right now. I talked to Tricia yesterday, and she goes, I'm mad. I'm not mad at anybody or anything. I'm just mad because of what was going on with Ray. And Ray said he was not happy. She goes, you're not happy, are you, Ray? He goes, not happy. So he's aware of his brokenness now, but he also knows. A humble, teachable spirit. That's Ray. He's an excellent teacher. Mike mentioned he has a part-time job as a principal. Not part-time, full-time job as a principal. But he's also a teacher when he's not a principal. He has a teachable spirit. Wisdom and discernment. Here again, two doctrines. Wisdom and discernment. So we always need to pray for our pastor and family. PFOP, we need to keep our focus on prayer and support Ray and their family right now. Because it is a family. When a person chooses to be a pastor, he takes his family with him. My dad would start a church in a small town in Nevada, start a mission. But then after he got it started, he couldn't stay there because he needed to go start another one. So he would have to call somebody, make some phone calls, and try to find a pastor to go to that church. And the pastor would have to take his family. And some of these small Nevada towns, I tell you, they're tough. They're extremely difficult. But it's a family, not only just a pastor. Like that phone call on Christmas Eve. I still remember that. That is in my head for the whole time, watching my dad walk out that door. It's a different calling, and it affects the family. So while we still pray for our pastor, we need to pray for the pastor's family as well. Each one of them. Pastors can, it's a demanding job, and they can lose their focus. Not only will you usually get a car story from me, but you'll get a Pastor Thomas example. That sermon he preached on, don't lose your focus. I will bring that up as often as I can. We had a pastor in Belmont, came from Oklahoma. Usually when pastors and their families come from back Oklahoma, Texas, or something out to California, it doesn't last. I'm sorry, they just don't understand us. they don't get Californians, or can they afford anything out here? So it's, they get homesick and leave. So he did go back. Him and his wife and son, they're great people. And he did a great job, but he went back to pastor a church in Oklahoma. And the last I heard, he opened a used car. He's selling used cars. He lost his focus somewhere. And I'm not judging. I'm not saying anything bad. He may have just got so worn out, so tired, that he said, I have to do something else. So we need to pray for our pastor and the family and make sure that we keep our focus on him and he keeps his focus on Christ. We have to do that. I love Ray. I love Tricia and I love Jake. I have a little story about each one of them. Jake's a great young man, huh? Remember he came here, he's about this tall. And now I look up to him. And it was a couple years ago. They were up in Reno, and we were in our house in Dayton. And so I said, hey, you want to come work with me, make a little money? And he goes, yeah, sure. So we had to shovel sand out of my front yard. And that's hard work. So he came over, and we shoveled sand. He put in two scoops in the truck. I put in one. He put in two, I put in one. It was a good system. He was outworking me. We did about 8 truckloads of sand out of this one, just one section of the yard, and then we'd have to go dump it. He never once looked at his cell phone. Show me a 16-year-old that can do that. Never once looked at his cell phone. That's our pastor's son. Ray and Tricia did a great job raising Jake. It says in 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5. Where are we here? He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert or may be conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Must be of good reputation. Ray and Tricia know how to manage your household. And Ray knows how to manage the church. And Jake is a great young man who respects his mother and father. You can see it. You can see it. There's no doubt. Tricia. They're just a mighty woman of God, powerful woman. Before one of Pam's surgeries, we had dinner with them. Little taqueria we like to go to over here by Home Depot, little hole-in-the-wall place. And Pam was going to have surgery. And so we ordered our food, and Tricia said, let's pray before the food gets here and pray for your surgery. And like I'll never forget Pastor Thomas's message on focus, I'll never forget that prayer. It was almost demanding that the surgery go well and that the doctor would come out and say everything was fine. It went routine. She prayed so strongly in the name of Jesus that that's what would happen. So come day of the surgery, well, you know what happened, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Had the surgery, and Ray and Trish came, and then when she went in for surgery, they left because, as you know, when somebody goes in, they have the surgery, then they come out in recovery. It can be hours. And so they took off. And about an hour and a half into a 3-hour surgery, the doctor walked out. And my daughter goes, Dad, there's a doctor. And I said, oh, what's going on? He goes, nothing, all done. It's routine. It was routine. 3-hour surgery took about 1.5 hours. And everything went fantastic. So I don't know why Ray wasn't routine and why he's had some issues. I don't know. But I do know he's a strong man of God. And I do know he needs our prayers. Tricia is our pastor's wife. And Ray married well. It's a great family. And then there's Ray. Another car story, I'm sorry, but that's one of the things me and Ray kind of click on. Some years back, he bought that 68 Corvette. 427 four-speed. What a car. I mean, if you're a car person, you know it. Tony knows it. I know it. And Jim knows it. 427 Corvette. And he goes, hey, Saturday, I'll come by and we'll go for a ride. I said, oh, boy, that'd be great. I've never ridden in one. Never have. And so Saturday morning comes. I walk outside. And he goes, here, you drive. I said, no, I'm not driving your car. And he goes, yeah, drive. Drive your car. I have a Mustang, pretty nice Mustang. I tease Tony, mine's nicer than his. It's not really, but I tease him about it. But it's a pretty nice car. Very few people would I throw my keys to and say, drive my car. I'm sorry, I just wouldn't. But Ray said, here, you drive. And we didn't just go around the block. We went up to Niles, we went through the canyon, we went into Pleasanton. So I got to drive that car. It was pretty cool. We had a bite to eat, and then Ray drove back. Even though it was a Chevrolet, it was nice to drive it. Yeah. Jim, you knew I was getting that one in there. Yeah. You knew I was. That's right. See, Ray didn't put his value on that car. It's a very valuable car. He put a value on our friendship when he said, you drive. He knows I'm a car guy. You can count on, you know, these days on your hand how many people have driven one of those cars. And he just nonchalantly said, you drive. You enjoy it. I won't forget that day either. It was a fun day. It was a simple day. On Wednesday night, it was me, Mike, and Jim, and we were talking a little bit about Ray. And Jim said he was unflappable. Remember? That's Ray. Unflappable. Ray is my pastor, and Ray is my friend. And that's why I will always PFOP. And I know you will too. So now more than ever, let's pray for our pastor and lift him and his family up. It's a tough, tough thing he does. We need to pray for Ray. And we want Ray to come back soon. But it's neat in a church this size, we have people willing to fill in while he's gone. Jim, I think you're next week. Ray's still out. Necessary, Mike. It's a great church. We're a small body, a small church, but we truly are a family. And one of our family needs our prayer right now. So let's pray for our pastor.